Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are, this is a Baltimore Positive holiday week here. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody out there and beyond. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. We are at Nick's Grandstand Grill. We're in Timonium, looking at the track, looking at the ponies. I got Woodbine, Golden Gate, Belmont Park, Gulfstream Park, Churchill Downs, Hawthorne. Woo, we're busy up in here. It's also brought to you by friends at Goodwill. I'm going to need the truck for all the stuff my wife's been cleaning out of the closets. And our friends at Window Nation, 2-for-1 windows. I got the new hat. I got to get it to fit on my head a little bit. I haven't worn a visor in a while. Chris Pike is here, and we're not even at the Super Bowl. How about that, dude? I don't know that I've ever sat next to you and done radio next to you.
I don't think we have.
At any other table that has not been sanctioned by Tom Brady and the National Football
League. Exactly. I think you're correct on that.
Well, I got my copies of Purple Rain 1 and 2 here. By the way, I found a whole bunch of Purple Rain 1s because this ESPN 30 for 30 was this week, right? Part of the spoils of winning is that, like, 21 and a half years later, ESPN pays guys money to come in. But I had Purple Rain, and it turns out that, like, Billick signed a whole bunch of them. So I didn't even realize that he had signed a bunch of these, so I have them. So we're out here. I'll be selling these, hanging out, doing my thing. But Purple Rain 1 back in the news, and Purple Rain 3 on lavender ice right now. This is... Look, you worked in PR, Saints, Falcons, Michael Jordan, Birmingham, all that stuff. When your star quarterback just doesn't show up and the coach says, talk to him, and he's talking to the world on social media in the middle of practice, it's not a good look for number eight. And I don't know, you grown-ups like us would say, well, where's the advice? Who's advising him? Where is he? You know, this is an interesting, eccentric superstar we have in our hands here, right? A little different.
It is a little bit different. I mean, I think we went through, I'm trying to remember, we went through a contract dispute with Aaron Brooks when I was in New Orleans. And this is pre-social media, to be fair. So he was not at camp probably the first week. And so you got the backup quarterback going. Of course, the first question out of everybody's mouths to the general manager or the head coach every day, what's going on with Aaron?
And then you, as the social communication specialist, says, all you have to say, coach, what coach was it at that point?
It was Hazlitt.
Jimmy, just say we're only going to talk about the guys that are here.
Which they do.
And that's literally what you tell them, right?
There's
a script for all of this issue.
There is. Right. There is. And listen, it's tough because, you know, you don't want to alienate the player because he's going to come in. I think the Players Association... In the last few years, especially with the negotiations of the current,
you don't mind if I have a beer?
No, it's all good.
Because I'm doing 31 breweries in August, whether I can help it or not.
So you know, you don't want to alienate the player, but you also understand the last couple CBAs, the Players Association has really kind of put their back up against, or I say against, but they've made it very clear to their membership what is voluntary and what is mandatory. And they've really tried to hammer that point home. And that's been something that's been in the last couple of negotiations.
The O is not optional as much as we think it is. It's organized.
Right. It is organized. And so the Players Association has been very clear to the players. You are under no obligation to be there. Now, of course, the teams want them there. They want the players in the building as many days as they can get them.
But when 85% of the players show up, it speaks volumes to them putting their foot forward to make an effort that they know they don't have to be there, but it's them saying we have a commitment that management wants to see, coaches want to see, fans want to see.
Right.
Invested people want to see activity this time of the year.
Right.
And I don't think that's wrong for the fans to want that or expect that. I don't think it's wrong for the coaches, you know, after these guys have been home for 90 days or whatever it is, to expect that organized team activities mean we're trying to build a winner here. And that's not... That's not bullshit or cliche. That's not me being a media guy. That's reality. Reality is, in any line of work, you want your team together.
And when this situation with Lamar brings is, it puts an extra bit of spice on John Harbaugh's pressers with the media, because that's going to be the first question. Why is Lamar not here? What has he told you? What's going on with his contract, which continues to sort of confound everybody because Lamar is his own agent with him and his mom. So you have all these sort of things in play. The easiest thing for him to do would be to be at camp, at OTAs, but for whatever reason, he has chosen to consider it as optional.
Even if he just didn't want to throw the football and says to them, look, don't embarrass me. I just don't want to get hurt out here. We're in a negotiation. I don't want to get hurt for you or me. But I'm going to show up and be a part of what you're doing because it's important to me, and I know it's important to you. He knows this is important to John and Eric, that this keeps them up all night, and he knows he's creating consternation in the organization. Maybe he's too young and dumb to realize that, but he really is creating an issue in the building by not being there, whether it is, it's not fans being loud. This is a building issue. This is a team issue. This does affect, hey, where's Lamar? Like, he's making $22 million this year. I'm making, you know, whatever I'm making wherever I am, and we need him. Where's he? Oh, he's on Twitter being a jerk to Chris Sims. There's a maturity issue here, Chris.
There is a bit of that, and I think, but the players are funny because they're going to tell the media, listen, we get it. He's a player. It's business. Okay, he considers it voluntary. They're not going to say anything about one of their brothers in that situation. They're just not. Now, privately in the locker room, maybe a completely different story.
Come on, dude. I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Right.
You can't be here. You're our leader.
Right.
Yeah, you got to be here.
And I think I'm sure there's a little bit of that that's going
there
on.
Has to be.
But publicly, they're not going to trash him because he's one of theirs, and that's what it is.
I'll trash him when he's out of line. He's out of line.
Right.
He's out of line. That's it. I mean, he's just that. This is not the way. If I'm invested in him as a fan, as a coach, if I'm the coach invested in him, if I'm the organization invested in him, and he wants me to invest my life in him, right? He wants me to give him $200 million. I've already offered him $100 million, right? I mean, he wants $200 million. Dude, you got to make an effort. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go on the date.
Even if he comes and just does the meetings with the installation and he says, hey, I don't want to get hurt on the field. We're still in the middle of this. But you can still be in the meetings. You can still show up at the facility. You can still go through with your offensive coordinator.
You can be a part of the team.
Right. And so... It's a fine line that everybody has to dance.
Well, this is a protest week for him, right? I mean, and it's perceived as such.
Right.
And everybody that comes to his defense and on social media, leave your hands off his money. Dude, he's under contract. He's making $22 million. Nobody's trying to take Lamar's money away. But they're under no obligation to give Lamar $250 million right now to be their forever quarterback because the idiots in Cleveland did a bad deal with a bad guy. You're like, they're not under an obligation to do that, and he's not under an obligation to be here this week, but it smells bad, and I'm in a seafood restaurant. This place smells great, by the way.
Well, and also, sometimes players will do that because they know that either the coach or general manager is on thin ice with ownership. Maybe it's a crucial year for them. That's not the case here. John's got his extension. DaCosta is going to be here for a while. There's no leverage that the player has that the coach is like, hey, I got to give in because I got to get this guy here because we got to win this year or I'm out the door. Okay, there's stability in Baltimore at those positions. There's stability in the coaching staff. There's stability in personnel and general manager.
And he's supposed to love it here.
Right.
Now, is Bunky just, you know, ask off the reservation, right, to go out to Arizona, right, like this buddy? I think we're all questioning whether he likes it here, wants to be here. They built the entire organization around this kid. And then he doesn't show up for practice? I mean, come on. I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. You're the leader of the team. You're making $22 million a year. If you want to negotiate, go sit in Eric's office and negotiate. But do it in Eric's office after practice this week. This is not good. It's really not good. The organization's all in on this kid, and now we're all questioning whether this kid's in on the organization. We're really asking that question.
Well, the other part of this, too, is something, as I mentioned before, when we went through this with Aaron Brooks, this was pre-social media, okay? It's one thing if the player doesn't say anything and just goes dark, basically.
He didn't have to pop off at Chris Sims.
Well, or anybody. I mean, that's the thing. He is active in social media. He's obviously clapping back at people who have said things about him. And so that makes it doubly tough because the club can't control the message. They can't say, oh, he's gone dark, but he's studying or doing whatever he's doing. He'll be here. He's on social media while they're out at practice. That's not a good look, and I'm sure that burns a few phone lines and a few, you know, chaps a few people in the front office.
Well, you know, I tweeted out, and it's been the most retweeted thing that that has happened, and it happened while I walked in here. We're Nick's Grandstand Grill. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Got some Betty Boop scratch-offs to give away. Our friends at Window Nation, 2-for-1 windows, they're treating me right. They'll treat you right as well. And our friends at Goodwill. But, you know, I tweeted out, I'm trying to get my exact tweet because I want to be, like, you know, on exactly on for my own words. Dude advice from a purple professional. You're either all in or you're not. Leadership isn't optional or voluntary at your level. And best to stay off the internet and media timelines when your teammates are working to help you win a Super Bowl while you ghosted them. Right?
Yeah.
Did he text his teammates and say, I'm not going to be there and this is why? They're wondering why, right? They're going to the internet. Oh, Lamar's looking for money. Lamar's looking for something from the team that he's not getting. Hey, I wonder if Lamar's going to be here in August. I wonder if this is a holdout. I wonder what this is. And the fans then wonder. And for him to tell people, don't go mind your own business. You are our business. You make $22 million. You're the quarterback of the football team. Don't focus. I mean, that's a really immature thing for a guy that's won Heisman trophies and MVPs and wants himself on the covers of Wheat. You know, he wants to be that guy. But then lashes out in the middle of a practice. I he's just not getting good advice. That's where I'm at. He's not getting good advice.
I mean, I think he'll go down as probably one of the more enigmatic superstars we've ever had here in Baltimore in all sports. I mean, and we've had some characters through here and guys who have made business decisions on some things, and you're just going, you scratch your head a little bit. But this is a guy who is the face of the franchise, and this is a guy who you hope is going to be here for the next 5 or 6 years, stays healthy, and brings you a Super Bowl.
You want to give him a couple $100 million.
Right. He's incredibly talented. He has, you know, if they get all the pieces around them, they're as good as any team in the NFL with an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Doing stuff like this, someone's not advising him in the way and maybe saying no. Okay, and that's the difference. I said the difference between when we had the holdout of Aaron Brooks back in 2001 after the playoff year, when he had a little bit of leverage, well, there was no social media. Now the players can control their own message however they wish, and some are better at it than others.
Well, I mean, he's running with Antonio Brown and Hollywood Brown at this point, right?
Right.
Like, he's witnessed the wrong way to do it, and he participated in that this week, and that's really unfortunate. If he wants to hold out for business, that's his business.
Right.
But mouthing off in the middle of it, when the coach and the general manager, you know they want you there, you know they expect you there, you know they need you there, right? They need you there. And you're now going to hold the franchise hostage to what? To dealing with all of this speculation? I don't know. It's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate.
Right, and it's something that, you know, it's not fair to your teammates. But the beauty of it is,
I don't want to be talking about this.
They don't want to be talking about it either.
They think, oh, you're Mr. Media, you're the bag, you're rat poison. You know, they get told that their whole careers, we're rat poison. I don't want to be talking about Lamar. They don't want to be talking about crab prices out here at Knicks. You know what I mean?
Right.
Literally.
And the beauty of this is, though, once he does come to the if he doesn't come to the mandatory camp, then that's a whole different deal, and that's a very different discussion that all of us will have locally, whether you're fans or media. You know, once he gets to camp or the mandatory camp, it's going to be forgiven in the locker room. It'll be forgiven in the front office, and you just move on. This is a blip. This, unfortunately, just becomes a talking point for a week, and it's a distraction to doing the work that they need to do in the locker room, on the field. You want your
guy. And they
have
a lot of work to do. They're on a 6-game losing streak. The quarterback hasn't been seen since he ran the ball 21 times against Minnesota and lost to Miami. Haven't seen since Halloween, right? So there's a lot for this organization to prove right now, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, I saw the top 100 players in the league. You know, there's Lamar and there's Mark Andrews and the kicker, right? Literally, they're not. I went to Purple Rain 1 the other night, the ESPN 30 for 30. Hall of Famers all over the stage, right? And then Saragusa and Dilfer and guys that played when they needed to. When a nut cut time came, they won a championship, period.
Right. Yep.
They didn't lose to Buffalo. They didn't lose to the Chargers. They didn't lose to the Titans. They didn't go out and stink. They didn't go out and pound the ground. They went out and won. And, you know, these guys come in 21 years later, and, you know, I got the other book here, and I think about these championship teams. Man, you know, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Lodi Nada, Joe Flacco, just go down the list of all these people. They weren't guys that were being charged with leadership and then saying, well, you know, I'll leave when I want to leave. And, you'll get me when you get me. I'll be there when I get there. I don't know. This organization hasn't dealt well with those kinds of people. You know, there's been a lot of leeway. And Brian talked about that with, we're all, let's men be men. Shannon Sharp, Ray Lewis. Goose was on stage laughing about curfews and how many he broke and like all that. This is a different time in a different era. And I think they need Lamar to be more than ghosting during May.
Right. And I think the other part of that.
After a disappointing year, too.
Right.
Right.
And we'll go back to that first championship group. Is you had incredibly strong personalities in that locker room. Okay. I mean, you want to talk about a group. That's why ESPN's doing this, is because of that group of personalities. What you don't have in this group of Ravens, you don't have a four or five veteran players.
The leadership council, right?
That can kind of keep everybody in line, or at least get everybody on this, you know, together.
Well,
on
they
some
talked
things.
A lot about this on stage at the Meyerhoff the other night. I mean, Shannon Sharp, Brian's told me this. It's all in the books, right? That Brian actually told me that story for Purple Rain One, that he got during practice in Tampa Super Bowl week. He saw a young player say, "I'm going to go with my family back to the hotel." And Billick only had one rule: we're all riding the bus to practice. We're all riding the bus home. And Shannon Sharp grabbed one of the young guys and said, "Get your ass on the bus." Coach said we had two rules.
Right.
Get on the bus.
Yep.
And Brian heard it. And Brian said, that's when I knew we were going to win. That's when I knew we had the kind of leadership we needed, when we don't need grown-ups in the room. I don't need bed check on you. Bed check is you want to win as bad as I do. And this was a bad week for Lamar to say he wants to win as bad as anybody else when 85% of the team is out there. That's what I'm saying about that. That little part of it, and it's not little. I don't think it's little in the clubhouse that he wasn't here the last 4 days.
No, and
that he wasn't on the field the last 8 weeks either.
Right. So what I guess the point being, from my standpoint, is you have someone who is perceived as the leader of the team now in that role of what that group is, right? He's the leader, and players are looking up to him. And that's what they're getting from their leadership. This is much different than that group. And I don't think that's a good thing for the franchise, and I'm sure that's something that they worry about, you know, that this is the guy that we're going to make the face of the franchise. We're going to pay him a lot of money. Is this something we're going to have to deal with every year?
So I asked Leonard Raskin this, and I'll wrap this up. Chris Pike is here. We're at Nick's Grandstand Grill. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. By the way, we will be at Luna Del Sea downtown next Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to that. I love Tony Asadi. We've done many things there on opening days and different events over the course of time. We're going to eat his crab cake. It's going to be delicious. You had the crab cake here. I've had the crab cake here. Delectable.
Very nice. Very
delectable.
Nice.
I mean, come on.
Buttery.
Well, you've had his crab cake probably before, because Nick's was at the foot of Cross Street in the market for generations, all of your life.
Yes.
You had sushi at Nick's, which is now the Atlas and is now the Chop Tank, the
Watershed.
Watershed, thank you. So what is now Watershed on the lower level was Nick's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, you know. So you're getting a great crab cake here. I'm going to ask you this. I asked Leonard this, and this is going to be giving him a little bit of my stock question. And I'm not being a jerk. I want an honest answer.
Right.
We're in a gambling establishment here. We're promoting a lottery. I know what you make. I know you're a poor guy. So if you put your whole life savings, $20, you had to wager it on Lamar Jackson winning a championship as a Raven or not. And that's a tough wager, because it's a Super Bowl win, right? We don't all win Super Bowls around here, right?
Only
but
one
right
team
now,
gets the confetti.
Right. Well, you get it a couple times, because they had it on stage the other night, Monday night. It was kind of nice.
Yes, it was.
It kind of made me a little clipped. So the real question is, if you're going to give him $100 million, $200 million, $300 million, 5 years, seven, whatever it is, if you win a championship, it's a good deal. And that, I'd say that about Flacco getting all his money, even though it came on the back end. You win a championship, the rest of it probably doesn't matter, I don't think. If you get one championship out of Lamar, if I get the right Purple Rain 3 out of that, which I'm not doing, that would be good enough. So when DaCosta says, Lamar, here's $232 million guaranteed, that's $2 million more than those idiots in Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson, that was a larger contract by $150 million than anybody else had ever really gotten. The Mahomes thing's not a real contract. We know that. Guaranteed money, I'm talking
about. Right, yep. It's all they care about.
All Eric cares about is in Arizona next year, wherever the one is after that, wherever the rotation, one of these three or four times here in the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to win a Super Bowl and get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. And that's why I'm giving you this money. I believe in you. It doesn't have to happen this year. It's going to happen on our watch between now and 27. Do you believe that Lamar Jackson at 27, 28, 29, 30 is really going to win a championship? And are you ready to bet all in, all cash, $250 million for real, guaranteed money? I'm not ready to say that because of the style of football he plays and the likelihood that I think he gets injured. And not the likelihood, but the knowledge that he's going to get slower. That I know that. I know the athletic part of this. I know that. I don't know, man. This is a hell of a question. And then what would the pivot look like if they dealt him for whatever they dealt? If there were a point where they do to him what Houston liquidate and just say, you're unsignable, kid. You know, you're unsignable and you're not going to show up in May. And we're just going to go. We tried. Right. We're going to do something different.
Before I would put that $20 bet down.
Okay.
I would like to be able to go into a general manager's office, in Derek DaCosta's office, and every general manager has that board that they keep behind lock and key. And I want to open up that board and I want to see who your top quarterbacks are in the 23 class and the 24 class. Okay. And what do they think of those guys? Because I promise you, if a good general manager is going to look at those boards and go, we think so-and-so is the top 23 quarterback, and we need to get in a position to get this guy because we might be better off. Okay? I say this, A, because I know
him. This is what they're really having to do.
Right. A good friend of mine I worked with the first year with the Saints, Omar Khan, just got the general manager's position in Pittsburgh.
Omar Khan.
Great guy. Andy Weidel is going to be his assistant GM.
Great guy.
Okay. I watched Kenny Pickett play in person. I saw Pitt-Miami. It was one of the best college games of the year. I worked it up in Pittsburgh. I thought this kid was a Matthew Stafford type. I mean, made all the throws, short throws, long throws. He looks like a pro quarterback. I think he's going to be very good for them. I may be very wrong, but he reminded me a lot of Stafford in college.
Okay.
And they make that decision on Pickett that maybe a generational quarterback like Roethlisberger was for him. And so this group has got to make that same decision. You know, they're going to look at that board and go, do we ride with him for one more year on the franchise tag, and we've got a guy in 23 that we're going to target at quarterback?
Well, Eric and John are intimately familiar with what a franchise quarterback does to the rest of your roster.
Yes. So I'm not sure I would put the $20 down either way. I think there's too many variables, and you've had problems with the receivers. The defense is obviously, I think, going to be better. I think they've got some pieces in place on the offensive line to help Lamar. But, you know, you got to help yourself, too. And I think that's the biggest thing is how much does Lamar want to help himself? If the answer is what we've seen here recently, I got to think that there's some interesting.
It feels like he's smelling himself a little bit after a really bad year for the team and a bad year for him and a bad year for his health. This is not a really. This isn't a good look. I think they'll give him the money. I think they like him. I think they like him less this week than they did last week. And I think saying I'm not coming to OTAs is not something they believed he would ever do when they drafted him. I think they saw him as a kid that loved football too much to want to let his teammates down this week a little bit, even if it's in the offseason, just to get this drama going. And then to add piss onto the vinegar on Friday was just. That was the insane part. The fact that he skipped OTAs and he wants to negotiate, I have no problem with that. You're going to get mouthy on the internet on top of that in the middle of practice? No bueno. No bueno, bro. No bueno.
Yeah. I mean, I would
as an adult, I can't. As a Lamar fan, I can't support that.
As a fan of bourbon, I would love to be in that club room at the castle, the one that Bisciotti has, in there with a bottle with DaCosta, Steve, and John. And having that listening to them have that discussion about where they are right now
with him
and what that looks like in a year or two and what they're willing to sort of deal with. Again, this may be water under the bridge by August. And everybody goes, hey, it's kumbaya, he's here, everything's good, we're moving ahead.
Right, he's got $22 million. He likes to play football.
Right.
I have no doubt he's gonna show up and play football.
Right.
I'm way past that. That's going to happen. The question is, what did this week represent? What's he trying to do?
And I think part of the...
We got horse racing going on here.
Yeah,
oh, my God, in the mud.
In the mud. I mean, part of that is the fact he doesn't have an agent who can sit him down and say, listen, you can't do it this way. This is how you handle it. I mean, he's doing everything himself. This is very... I mean, for a top-level quarterback, a franchise-level quarterback... to handle his business
this
the way
is
he's doing.
As unorthodox as the Baltimore Orioles have been over 30 years. It's right. unorthodox.
It is incredibly unorthodox, and I don't think you'd find another quarterback in any class last 5 years or the next five that would do it the exact same way.
Who wouldn't want Lee Steinberg with him or wouldn't want whoever?
Right, whoever the top guy is, Joel Siegel, whoever that is, to be that guy in the room to say, listen, not only I'm going to negotiate on your behalf for the club, but I'm going to give you good advice about how to do this. This is the proper way to hold out on a voluntary thing. You're just going to go silent, not say anything, but you're not going to be there. They'll get the point, okay? And just handle the business the right way. And he's not getting that advice because he is his own advice. And he's listening to people who maybe don't have his best interest in mind. But you've got to be smarter than that. And I'm sure that's the type of discussions that they're having in the front office is, you know, what does this look like long term? We've had him for this long. What does this look like down the road once we've committed the money to him? Now, what does this look like?
And is practice optional next year?
Yeah.
Is it? Really? We're going to get really?
Right.
Really? And $22 million didn't get here. And it's $45 going to get you
right.
Here?
Right. It's, you know, and for Steve Bisciotti, who's writing those checks, I mean, that's a fair question to ask your general manager and your head coach.
I'd love to ask the owner questions. I am Nestor. He is Chris Pica. He is Blog and Tackle. Last thing for you, because I can't let you come out here with, because Moeller would get pissed at me, because, you know, all this orange, and he's wearing Orioles, and you just avoided the whole Adley Rutschman thing, and then you were Mr. Rutschman last week, you and your wife, Kate Rutschman over there, you all went, you got a little Oriole fever. I mean, you love the Orioles, you're back at home, and you go to games, you love going out. Yeah.
Got a 13-game plan, and I picked up a ticket. She wasn't able to go, but I went down on Saturday to see him play and wanted to see what all the hubbub was about.
And he hit the triple.
Yes, he did.
All right.
In the corner. It was nice. I mean, that's fun from a standpoint.
Love sports.
Well, I do love sports. And what I've told her is, you know, I think I've even said this on social, is that from a fan standpoint, the wins and losses don't really matter. There are going to be nights where they're going to be out hit or out pitched. Fine. The only thing that drives me crazy as a fan right now is bad defensive baseball. Everything else is the luck of the draw on a given night. You know, you might get 10 hits and lose. You know, you might have the big comebacks like they had against the Red Sox and the Yankees to win a couple of games. And it's exciting because you start kind of seeing some of that building blocks that are down the line. You can see that camaraderie in the dugout.
I think we see that now.
I'm a cynic, and I see it. And like I said,
I know what it looks like. I've been doing this a long time.
So as long as they're not throwing the ball around the infield or they're getting completely outclassed, which is the one thing we saw the previous two seasons.
Well, this is where Brandon Hyde makes his money, right?
Yes.
Because he had garbage in, garbage out for a long time. Now he's getting better players. And on some nights when they can hustle out a win, which they did against the Yankees, like they've had a couple of wins in the last couple of weeks that make me think that maybe he's the leader. You know what I mean? Maybe he's going to survive this somehow like Barry Trotz did, or like very, very few people have survived 5 years of bad and been on the other side of what Buck would call a pile diver.
Right. And so, you know, you see some of those pieces, and like I said, the only thing that drives me crazy, I mean, Rutschman had the throwing error that gave the Yankees 1-2 runs. Okay, fine. If they're not committing 3 errors a night and they're not getting beat 10-0 or 11-2 every night, getting their brains beat in.
And Rutschman's not pitching in the ninth.
Right, exactly. I mean, so to me, that's progress and that's enjoyable baseball to sit up in the upper deck like I do and we do and sit there with a couple of beers and a hot dog and watch the games and just enjoy a beautiful night in Baltimore that we've got Major League Baseball that I'm a mile and a half from the ballpark and go and see it. As someone who grew up with it, and just enjoy a nice night out and watch a team that wants to compete, right? They show up, they want to compete. We talk about Lamar maybe not wanting to show up, not compete. Those are 26 guys that are showing up and they're scrappy. And so they're never really out of a lot of games, and that's fun as a fan, okay?
Well, that helps with pitching's gotten better.
Right.
Pitching's gotten better. They move the ballpark, you know, move the fence back for now. You know, they're not getting beaten. They're not getting their brains beaten.
No.
It's 13
to 4. It's not.
You know, we've talked about that all week.
And if they had means, you know, the entire season, if he hadn't gotten hurt, maybe they're a little bit closer to 500. Maybe they win a couple more they weren't supposed to win. And maybe they're floating 5 or 6 under 500 as opposed to 10 under at one point. You know, because it's tough in that AL East. You're still playing the Yankees and Red Sox and Rays. It's a difficult division to be successful in, and the fact that they've been able to steal some games from some pretty good teams ahead of them in the standings, it's as a fan, it's nice. It looks like you can start to see in 2 years, hey, maybe this is where the 12 and the 14 Orioles were, and you get a chance to watch that again.
Something magic happens every time you go. The Maryland Lottery is sponsoring our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I had some delicious fried shrimp here earlier, had a plate of oysters, crab cakes are flowing. Leonard Raskin took a dozen and a half of big old steamer jumbos out of here tonight. Big appreciation to Greg Kessler, my dear friend, for coming by. Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global, as well as Tommy Chikoris, who runs Nick's Grandstand Grill. First time here, right?
Yes.
It's a vibe, right? It's a thing. It's a thing out here.
Yes.
We're in Timonium at the racetrack. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. We got the wheels on the truck going round and round. We're going to be donating to Goodwill, talking more to Goodwill, and our friends at Window Nation. I got the... It's my ball cap visor. I feel like Steve Spurrier.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Window Nation, 2-for-1 windows, promising far more than Steve Spurrier ever did. I knew I would get you back for Oriole baseball. I knew you'd be spending you go out to stud in Baltimore at the end of your run here, that you'd want to be a mile away from Camden Yards and going to games. So when the Orioles are pile diving, I'll be there with Chris Pica. He is blog and tackle. He always looks after us, the godfather of all things Baltimore positive. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, on behalf of our entire crew, which includes Chloe, the intern. She is the entire crew right now, giving away Maryland Lottery tickets. And Betty Boo, we will see you on Wednesday at Luna Del Sea, or anywhere, BaltimorePositive.com travels.